Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you.
It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Mitch out today. Pauly Howard, Matt Humans, Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post coming up to talk a little golf and the story about the U.S. Open that's going to be pushed back. And, who knows what they're going to be able to do with the U.S. Open. Coming up with the golf calendar as well. Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review Journal later in the show about the possibility of the NBA playing games in Vegas. Some breaking news, and we got a couple stories here, Matt. I'll start. According to The Guardian, Wimbledon is going to be canceled. That announcement will be coming on Wednesday. So that's another, and then, as the story points out.
Canceled or postponed? That's two different things.
A good point. Canceled, it says. Yes, thank you. Canceled, and a big reason why, as the article points out, they only have two courts that are covered, so it's just not doable or realistic to have it later if they have to. If they would have to push it back, so that has been canceled. And what do you have on the Olympics?
It looks like the Olympics have been rescheduled for July 23rd, 2021 in Tokyo, which is the least surprising thing to happen this week. We knew that would happen, right?
Yes. Something we discussed earlier in the show, and we did it with a guest who was with Dan Saley, and Matt hates the idea, but stuff that came out over the weekend, that college football, at least thinking about moving the season up to July, and you would play conference games only, something that they're looking at, because they think that with the warm weather, and who knows if we get hit with a second wave later in the season, they would want to move up the start of the time. Matt thinks it's outrageous and a bad idea. Tony Clark has said the players just want to play. Everything's on the table. We'll play 22 days in a row, 21 days in a row. We'll play doubleheaders, neutral site, play without fans. We'll do whatever it takes. They just want to play. You had that story. And we also had the Premier. This came out yesterday, courtesy of The Independent, that the Premier League has developed plans for clubs to play televised games in isolated World Cup-style camps over June and July in order to try to finish the season. The football authorities have been in discussions about ideas over the weekend, with games behind closed doors still seen as a likely solution. But the idea of isolated camps is one the clubs keep returning to. It's gained traction in the last few days, and the huge broadcasting contracts and other financial concerns have increased the pressure on clubs to complete the season. But one advantage is that it would be a TV mega event that they would play every day with games on TV in June and July.
Yeah, this could work. And actually, I think it'd be very popular with bettors too. I know you like to bet European soccer. The Premier League, I think, would draw a really big handle, because you're not going to have much else going on at that time. And like you're talking, you know, these made-for-TV events, whether it's the NBA playoffs, Premier League soccer, those would get booked and bet very heavily, Paul. I think that would be really popular. I could see it happening. It's kind of awkward to think about baseball being played. Let's say the Dodgers are playing the Giants at Dodger Stadium, and there are no fans in the stadium at all. God, that's awkward to think an entire baseball season could be played that way.
Yes, and so they're looking at everything, too. I mean, 81 games, 100 games. Do you come back? Do we start the season with the All-Star game? So, I mean, everything's on the table there. And then I know Manfred last week on ESPN said hopefully late May that we could get something going, too. But who knows what that is. But your point earlier, too, why you hate the idea, but how strange would it be to play college football without any fans?
It's so difficult to do. I mean, it's one thing to bring 16 NBA teams to Las Vegas and play and stage the playoffs over 1 month. It's totally different to try to get 130 college football teams together. We're talking about 80 to 100 players who have to report to camp, and these university campuses have been closed this summer. I think it's just too difficult to schedule it. It's a logistical nightmare, and I think it's a far-fetched idea, a bad idea. I'd be stunned if something like that happened. Let's just hope maybe the college football and NFL season can start on time, late August, early September. I don't think it's too – I don't think we should punt on that idea yet, Paul. I think it still could happen.
You're listening to you're watching Follow the Money on VSiN. Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, Mitch Moss out. Let's welcome in Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post, and appreciate a few minutes, Mark. How you holding up, pal?
Weird time for all of us. I'm assuming you guys are doing stuff from your own from home. I'm not in the studio. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it's been weird because it's been a fairly, you know, I've been staying busy writing every day. You know, we're actually putting our New York Post, all of our editors are working from home. So we're actually putting a paper out from home, which is very unique. So it's just kind of everybody's just kind of standing in place and, you know, hoping to stay safe and healthy and, flatten this curve so we can go. You know, I just was listening to your lead in, talking about the Premier League and whatnot. I mean, at this point, we're all starved for live sports, aren't we?
Yes, no kidding. You know, I love the Post, and I read you over the weekend. Exactly, if you can tell our listeners, what golf courses are open in New York and New Jersey?
Well, the answer is complicated because some are and some aren't. My home is in New Jersey, and the New Jersey governor has got all the courses closed here. New York City, when this thing first started taking hold, they were allowing their city courses to be open, and they were packed. They were thriving. They've since been closed. They've since been closed, though. So, you know, as this has gotten more serious, but yet still, you've got a lot of Westchester County courses, you know, which is in New York, you know, just north of New York City, open and thriving with business. So it's just an ambiguous situation. There's not really any rhyme or reason. The governor of New York, Mario Cuomo, I think, has done a really good job. Has got all the parks open, so all the New York State parks courses are open, which includes Bethpage. Mm-hmm. So some people are playing, some people aren't, and most of the private clubs are closed. Obviously considered quote unquote non-essential businesses. So I know the place that I play in New Jersey is not, you know, as soon as the governor came out and shut down all non-essential business, you know, we closed immediately. So it's kind of a bummer because, frankly, if you guys are golfers, it's the best social distancing sport there is. Really, you can just go out by yourself and throw a bag over your shoulder and play. But the problem is, you get people congregating and whatnot, and that's what the fear is. You know, some people are just treating it like it's normal business and they're not social distancing. So I think they're just trying to prevent all that.
Yeah, that's one of the key things you just brought up there, Mark. I went out to play golf a week ago, and the course I went to was not crowded at all. It was a desert course, and there was nobody out there. And, that's ideal. That's ideal situation. It sounds to me like in New York and New Jersey that you had a lot of these courses just jammed with players, and that's the type of situation you don't want to have. Now, it'd be really disappointing to me if Las Vegas and this valley shut down a lot of golf courses, because that's one thing you can get out and do at this time. You can get outside and play golf and not be around people. And I think that's a great activity. How far would you drive to play golf at this point, just to get out and have a chance to play? Have you been over to New York to play in the past week or so?
You know, I haven't, to be honest with you. I've been pretty busy since I was actually out, covering the tour. I was down at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then I was at the Players Championship when they shut that down and canceled it. And I've kind of just, got home and, hit the ground running, just continuing to write a lot. And and obviously also, staying in with my wife. And, we have an apartment in Manhattan, And but we cleared out of there about a week, almost 2 weeks ago, and down to our home in New Jersey, which is actually our residence. So how far would I drive? If my golf, my club where I play is 40 minutes away, and I drive there in a heartbeat sure. to go play there, I don't think I would go to a public course where I knew there was a lot of people. You know, I mean, I did a story when this thing first started taking place, when I was mentioning when the city courses were open, and you know, I was talking to people there, and they're letting carts out, two people to a cart. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and they're like, oh, well, we're wiping the carts down. Well, there's no way those carts are being properly sanitized.
Sure.
So, I mean, I really feel like walking should be the only option, really. You know, I hate to say that because some people aren't able, some of the older generation or whatever is not able to walk. But, I mean, even if you just get out there and walk a couple of holes or something like that, I think that's really the way to go. But yeah, the way you just described going out to your desert course with nobody out there, you know, that's the way to go. I mean, that's my vision, is just going out and clearing your head and playing 9 holes or 18 or whatever, you know, and just walking and by yourself. I don't need to play with anybody.
Yeah, it's a great way to get out and do something. I'm trying to get Paul Howard to pick up golf. He says he's a former putt-putt champion. That's it. No, Paul, let's talk about the majors.
Yep. So you said this is something we all had to have seen coming, talking about the postponement with the U.S. Open golf at Wingfoot. And I mean, what do you think this is going to do now? What can we expect from the golf calendar with the majors?
Well, Paul, I think the hope for all of us is, you know, that this curve that they talk about gets flattened, you know, sooner rather than later. And they're talking about the peak of this thing, at least here in the New York City area, you know, not to be coming, or even in the country, I guess, you know, not to be coming for another 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, if we can get to the point where these golf majors are able to be played, you know, in the late summer and fall, you know, then that's awesome. You know, we get them in, you know, I mean, this is a weird time. You know, the Masters is supposed to be taking place in about a week and a half now. And I picked a very bad time to write a book about the Masters because it just came out 3 weeks ago and now there's no Masters. I think if this thing does get, you know, to some semblance under control in the next couple few months, you know, they should be able to play these majors. Now, the question is, I can't imagine these are going to be the large scale affairs that they have been in the past, like, you know, 25,000-30,000 people per day at the U.S. Open, for example. I just, with all the corporate tents and whatnot, I've got to think that, you know, if and when they are played, they'll be kind of scaled down versions of it and really more television events. I'm not sure what they'll do about fans and, you know, what would they allow fans in at all? Would it be reduced in a number? I don't know. But, I mean, you know, none of us has those answers at this point because of, you know, nobody has answers to anything with regard to this. But, you know, hopefully they'll all get played in some manner. I think the only tournament that would remain mostly the same as it would have been from the start would be the Masters, you know, because that's, you know, they play at the same place every year and, you know, their infrastructure is there, you know, pretty permanently.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Mark, because I was really hoping the Masters would go on. That would be one of the few sporting events we would have, and golf, you would think, is something you could maybe pull off. But can you talk about, since you've covered so many majors, and I've covered a few, but you've been to many more, how difficult it would be to even stage this without fans? Because it's not just the players. You have a lot of volunteers who are there. Logistically, could you pull it off that we could have a made-for-TV major with no fans? Do you think that's something that would be possible maybe in August or September?
I do think it's possible. Okay. You know, when you talk about the volunteers, most of those volunteers are, you know, to handle the, you know, the fans and the crowds and the spectators and the hospitality tents and the, you know, the food venue vendors and things like that. So, you know, if it's a TV event, it's, you know, it's players, you know, TV personnel to do the broadcast. And, you know, whether they'd let media like myself in there or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, you know, very much the same as what you guys were just talking about before I came on the air with you with the Premier League. I mean, if you shut the whole thing down and you just got, you know, my question is, you know, was you've got these players who are playing a contact sport, you know, who knows if they're all not, you know, whether they're carrying the virus or not, or, you know what I'm saying? That
sure.
That to me becomes a slippery slope. I don't know how do you sort that out? I mean, golf is a lot easier because, you know, it's not a contact sport, so to speak. But, you know, for anything like, you know, we talk about these football games of college football will get rolling again, or the NFL or whatever. You know, how do we know when we're completely clear of this? I mean, will we ever be completely clear of this? I don't know. You know, do we really know?
I don't think anybody knows. How about your book, 7 Days in Augusta? Is that out now? And tell us what it's about. Was it about last year's trip to Augusta?
No, you know what it is? Last year was my 25th Masters that I covered. This April, you know, in 3 weeks would have been my 26th. Hopefully in October it will be the 26th. So some publisher from Chicago, Triumph Books, came to me and with some ideas, and I ran this by them. I said, look, I've covered 20, well, at that time it was 24 of them. I hadn't written the book, you know, I was in the middle of writing the book when Tiger won last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, I've seen so much there, and the Masters, as you guys know, either of you guys been to a Masters before?
I have been to Augusta, but not for the Masters.
Okay, so, I mean, my point being that it's almost a mythical event for most sports fans because sure. It's the hardest ticket in sports to get get into.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't go get a tee time there and go play the course or even get through the gates, right? So there's so much there that takes place in that small city, you know, 1 week a year, and it just transforms that town. So I kind of wanted to blend some of the amazing things that I saw on the golf course, you know, that we would all recollect, like Tiger's win in 97 and Phil's Masters wins and, you know, the collapses of Norman and Spieth and Rory and things like that. But I also kind of wanted to blend in some stuff that you don't really see on TV if you're a viewer, you know, just what goes on around the town and just some of the quirks and things that take place. Like the Butler Cabin, for example, is, to me, I don't think I even knew where the Butler Cabin was for the first 7 Masters I covered. It was almost a mythical place, you know, where they hand over the green jacket on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. You know, what goes takes place under that famous gigantic oak tree behind the clubhouse. You know, it's like where all the movers and shakers and hang out for the entire week. You know, I did a chapter on that. Did a chapter on the par 3 contest that takes place on the Wednesday and the champions dinner that takes place every Tuesday night. And, you know, other things like John Daly, you know, posting up at the Hooters down the Washington Road, you know, signing, you know, women's butts and boobs, you know, things like that, with his memorabilia and stuff. So I just try to blend a little bit of the on course and off course stuff that people don't really get to see. And it was a very fun project. I got some great anecdotes from people. Phil Mickelson wrote the foreword for the book for me, which was really cool. And there's just a lot of really fun anecdote stuff in there from some of the historic things that we've all seen on the television and, you know, and watched the Masters, and then some other things that, you know, you would not have heard about.
Paul Howard, we had the tweet about the Masters. I think there was a report the Masters would be scheduled in November. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Mark?
I saw that was one. Yep.
Mark, how conceivable do you think that is? What do you think will happen with the British Open in July? And take your best guess at what you think the major schedule is going to be here in 2020.
Yeah, my best guess at this point is, let's start backward with the Masters. The Masters is the one tournament that can take place a little later in the year because of the weather. And actually, frankly, Augusta National is probably be in better shape, or at least as good a shape, in November as it would be in April. Plus, it's a shorter field, so you don't have to worry about the time difference and the shorter days, you know, with darkness. So I think that makes sense. The word is October, possibly November. The golf course actually closes from May until mid-October anyway, for the entire summer, you know, because it gets very, very hot down there, and they maintain the course and regrow the grasses and whatnot and make their changes. So I think that would fit perfectly fine if it all, you know, works in the medical community, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, I don't know what to think about the British. I'm, you know, that's still a little ways down the line. You know, that's the one major that's still hasn't been affected, so to speak, yet. But let's say the British stays where it is. I could see the PGA Championship would probably take place sometime maybe the last couple of days of July or the first couple of days of August, because that's the window where the Olympics golf competition was going to take place. So that was going to be an open window in the PGA Tour schedule anyway. And then what you would do with Wingfoot and the US Open, The word is sometime in September. Find a date in September along the way somewhere. It looks like the Ryder Cup has not announced anything yet, but it's not going to shock me if they move that up a year like they did with the Olympics. So perhaps the U.S. Open takes that Ryder Cup time slot in late September. That's all totally speculative stuff, and that all obviously depends on whether, Anthony Fauci says it's okay, right? That's kind of what we're all watching right now.
Sure. Thanks for the few minutes. Keep up the good work and stay safe.
Okay, same to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Well done. Mark Cannizzaro, writer and columnist, New York Post. Love the Post. Also, his the 18 best golf holes in the New York metro area. That was well received as well.
Yep.
I got it right here. Yeah. The top headlines of the Post: headless body and topless bar. That's the number one. I got this. I love this book. This is fantastic. Win, lose, and ask Matt. How about Tiger Phil Part 2? That's straight ahead. Follow the money. Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, VSiN, baby. Back on Follow the Money. Can't wait for Ask Matt coming up in 10 minutes. Got an eclectic mix and a good couple NBA questions with a good – I think there's some value here with an NBA bet based on what some voters are saying. So we'll get to that. Ask Matt coming up, and Sam Gordon, if the NBA could play out here, from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Still to come, time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right. Win Some. All the exclusive stories and data. VSiN.com and the 24/7 video stream. Go back to the archives and watch the final segment of Friday's show. Matt's breakdown on why would you ever get married. Unbelievable breakdown. As Mitch was celebrating his 10-year wedding anniversary. Matt's breakdown at the end of Friday's show was phenomenal. Also win some. Look at this ticket at William Hill US on Twitter. Look at what this bettor did over the weekend. That's a $50 10-team table tennis parlay that hits for $9,600. You got to be kidding.
And it's all 10 favorites.
Yep, good point, Matt. Matt pointed that out. Look at that. All 10 favorites get there, with the lowest being $1.35 and the highest being $1.65. And it comes in for $9,600. I can't believe it.
Paul, when you look at the list here, those look like Russian names. Is this a Russian table tennis tournament? Ivchenko, Ivashinky, they were all favorites. -135 to -165. I thought, man, how did this bettor know these table tennis players? And then 5 seconds later, I said, okay, I'm looking at the list. He just played 10 favorites and hoped that all favorites would come through, and that's what happened.
Win some. This looks like Matt Youmans' house. This was our buddy Latham, Washington fan, who always tweets in. I got my shipment. Win some. Look at that. 4 cases of Miller Lite. He's got the Tito's vodka. He's got the Blue Moon. He did not have Corona. It was just the box, Matt.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was that was some other stuff in there, and he's got a couple bottles of wine as well. That is a serious shipment here, as he's on lockdown, and he's having he's set for a couple months there with all the alcohol. Also win some at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, an oldie but a goodie. Look at the dog with the sled here. Number 3. Look at this. Yeah, I got it myself. I don't need anybody's help. Pick it up with my mouth, and away we go. I got it. And down the hill. He nails it. And rinse and repeat. Look at him go. I mean, what a hill there. And he comes out. All right, he's set for the next couple hours. Lose some Governor Cuomo yesterday saying there's no spoiler alert. Earmuffs if you have kids. Governor Cuomo yesterday saying no Santa Claus. I mean, that is a bad beat if you're watching that press conference with a parent. That came out of nowhere. Also, lose some sent in from a viewer on an airplane. I mean, look at this with the hair. As he says, do I get a scissors or do I go with a match? That's from Chris. That is unbelievable. You think the feet on the armrest is bad enough. And Diana Rossini does a great job with ESPN. I thought it'd be so kind to stop by my parents' house in Jersey, beep the horn, and wave to them. My mom opened the front door and yelled, get the hell out of here. I think she meant forever. That's loosome. That's a tough beat. She, you want to say hello to the parents, and that happens.
She must live in Philly. She sounds tough.
The
tough lady.
Loosome, as Matt put me on Front Street with Mark, but rightfully so. How bad is it that it's the only sport you can play as you get older, and we have beautiful courses out here? I used to golf growing up, got off it, haven't returned. Butch Harmon actually offered to give me lessons, and I still haven't taken him up on that. How bad is that, Matt? Lose some.
That's bad. You should play. I tell people all the time, teach your kids to play golf because that's a sport they can play until they're 70, 80 years old, right? You can play that sport your entire life. And right now, that's about the only sport you can play. I guess you could go out to the park if it's vacant and shoot baskets by yourself or things like that. There's not a whole lot you could do. Hey, Paul, we were talking about Kerry Wood in a 20 strikeout game.
Yep.
And I said injuries wrecked his career about 5 years later. So that was 1998. 2003, he went 14-11. You know, Kerry Wood never won 10 games again in his career.
What?
After 2003, he never won more than 8 games in his career. So basically, Kerry Wood was done as a dominant pitcher.
Wow.
Less than 5 years after that 20 strikeout game.
Dusty Baker, I think, had a lot to do with that, too. Ask Matt coming up next, and Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Could the NBA play their games and even the playoffs out here in Las Vegas? All that coming up straight ahead. Follow the Money, Visa. Still have horse racing, the only sport still going on in North America, and the best way to follow the action is with the brand new First Bet app. First Bet's a new betting and handicapping product from Express Bet. First Bet features include wagering on all the top tracks, AI-enhanced handicapping tools that tap into a library of more than 200,000 past races to identify horses racing today that fit a winning pattern. Stats and probabilities you won't find anywhere else. HD video and video replays. Visit first.com/bet for more info. Use the promo code VEASAN500, all one word, and get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up. Plus, receive up to a $500 bonus for wagering in your first 30 days. First.com/bet. FTM at VEASAN.com. Matt, Caleb agrees with you. The San Jose State Events Center was the worst places he's ever seen. He was involved in college basketball. He was involved with the men's program at Wichita State. He said it was horrific. Also, Matt checking in. I manage a sports book in West Virginia. They also have a Greyhound track that is temporarily shut down. There are 5 states that have legal Greyhound racing. Alabama, Arkansas, Iowa, Texas, West Virginia, Florida's outlawed dog racing beginning in 2021. And they have one track left. And they are saying here, Derby Lane, you can play poker there.
Yeah.
but the track is closed due to the virus.
Yeah, the last time I was at Derby Lane, there were about 15 guys like myself betting the dogs, Paul, and there were about 500 people in the poker room. The poker rooms are what keep the dog tracks open.
Okay.
You know, at this point, dog racing is going to be phased out in Florida by 2021. The Humane Society was on the attack. It's unfair to greyhounds to make them race. I thought greyhounds were born to run, Paul. You're a dog guy.
Yeah.
Are greyhounds pets? Would you have a greyhound as a pet?
Yeah, I could see that. Sure.
Could you?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Where's the beagle? Come here, buddy. I don't know where he went. He ran around the corner. Okay, this will be fun. Ask Matt. And hopefully, I think we have a play out here. If you can still find it, that could be a good value. I'll explain why. Number one, ask Matt. So yesterday on Twitter, a guy tweeted at Tiger and Phil Mickelson. Do you think there's a chance you two go play around mic'd up with a camera guy and put it out there on a stream for people to watch? We need live sports.
Yep.
Phil responds, working on it. Yeah, there we go. Could we get Tiger Phil part two?
Yeah, why not? I mean, this is an ideal event here where you don't have to get a lot of people involved to stage a made-for-TV event. The last time Tiger and Phil went head-to-head here in Las Vegas, Paul, I thought it was disappointing. The golf was not great. It seemed kind of contrived. Tiger really wasn't into it. I think Tiger would be more into it now because it would be one of the biggest sporting events of the summer. And he needs revenge against Phil, right? Phil won the first time around. Do you recall when they had Monday Night Golf? I would say 17, 18 years ago when it would be like Tiger against Sergio or, Tiger against somebody else. Do you recall those head-to-head matches?
No.
Monday Night Golf, that was actually a pretty good series.
Oh, okay.
I think this would be the perfect time to bring that back, the head-to-head golf matches, because are you going to tell me that would not draw heavy wagering action if that was the only
absolutely.
Event to happen that week?
Please.
Yeah,
you do it on a weekend, doesn't matter. Yeah, absolutely. So fingers crossed we could get that. Dana White still put UFC cards together.
NFL draft.
Right. Hopefully the Premier League will be back by June, so fingers crossed there. Okay. So I saw $4 globally, but I think you can do better than that. If you can, I'll say it. I gave it out when it was $2, and I grabbed it when it was 3-1, like the first week of the season. Can you find the Greek Freak to still win the NBA MVP? Last week, ESPN asked 70 guys who cover the league who's the MVP. 60 of them said it's Freak over LeBron. 60 of the 70, and some of them have votes, said, who's the MVP? 60 of the 70 said Freak. So if you can still find that, and I think you could get as low as $2 out there, maybe $2.50. Do you agree with that, Matt? Do you think it's a good bet based on that article?
Yeah, I thought there was a mainstream media push to get LeBron the MVP.
Sure.
JVT and I had talked about that. You saw Brian Windhorst. You saw all sorts of guys on ESPN touting LeBron as the MVP. I thought the Freak, I'm not going to say it had it wrapped up, but it was close to it. Maybe when you got to the All-Star. Yeah.
Well, I thought it's done. I thought it was done. I absolutely think it's a media creation.
Well, I do too. And the problem is you got the media voting for it. So if you have... If ESPN polled 60, what'd you say, 60 voters?
60 of the 70, 60 of them said Freak's the MVP.
Okay, how many of those have a vote? Do we know?
That I don't know.
I'd like to know that. If a majority of those have a vote, then yeah, you lay that price right now. I think you lay the price anyway, Paul. You're right. The Freak's going to win the MVP despite the media push for LeBron. I would say you got a really good number there.
Yep. Okay.
Where can you find that? We're going to find out where you can find that bet because I don't know where you can make that bet today.
That's right. That's globally. I think is that BOL or so? I don't know. Anyways, it's globally. And I'll look and see if PointsBet or someone else has it up as well. I think Bet365 might have it up too. I'll ask my buddy in Canada, Ben. Okay.
Yeah, Paul,
so you heard
Paul, that's Bet Online. No, nobody on the East Coast has anything up right now on MVP.
Thank you. And William Hill took it down as well. Okay, yep. So you heard what Bruce Arians and Ask Matt continues, FTM at VSiN.com, anything you want from Matt. So Bruce Arians made the comments. He was asked about Antonio Brown. He said bad fit. Let me ask you, is his career over?
I'll say no. I actually wish it were over because I'm sick of Antonio Brown and the stunts he pulled last year. I think his career should be over. But, Paul, when a guy is that talented, he's always going to get not just a second chance, a third chance, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth chance. Antonio Brown, let's see, he's had a year away from football, essentially. Somebody's going to bring this guy back. He's too good. He's too talented a wide receiver. I mean, hell, 1 year ago at this time, Tom Brady lobbied the Patriots to bring Antonio Brown into camp. So, no, I would never say a guy's done for. How many times did we hear people say Tiger Woods will never win a major or blah, blah, blah?
I did.
You know, and
cost me a lot of Guinness.
I'm not going to say Antonio Brown's done because he's too talented. I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would bring him in. But, Paul, how about if Tom Brady, if things weren't going so well, maybe 5-6 weeks into the season, he went to Bruce Arians and said, yeah, we really need Antonio Brown in this offense. Do you think Bruce Arians would pull the trigger? He might.
Yeah.
And if it's not Tampa Bay, another team might take a look. Unfortunately, I'm sick of the guy. It's a tired act. I don't care if he ever plays again, but I think he's going to get a shot.
Sam Gordon, Las Vegas Review-Journal up next. He had the article last week. Could the NBA come out here and play in Vegas? It's coming up. Follow the Money. Paulie Howard, Matt Heumann, straight ahead. VSiN, baby. Welcome back for All the Money. Paulie Howard, Matt Heumann, Mitch out today. Brett McMurphy tomorrow to talk college football. And also The Scheme airs tomorrow on HBO. We'll be checking that out Tuesday night on HBO. Sean Miller, Will Wade, doesn't look good as they'll show a lot of the phone calls with Dawkins. And that'll air tomorrow on HBO. That'll be fantastic. Great Michael Jordan story coming up. But Sam Gordon, we talked about this story that was picking up steam as CNBC had as a couple agents and people from the NBA anonymously said, how about putting the playoffs in some events in Vegas? Here's the money quote, though, Matt. If I'm the NBA, the cost of setting up one production, one television network, one set of satellite trucks makes more sense, rather, if you have 16 teams. That's 8 different venues around the country. They have to be set up with studios and broadcast time. Mm-hmm. It would make so much sense if you could have the playoffs in Las Vegas with the Cox Pavilion and the T-Mobile right there next to each other. And you have all the hotels here and you quarantine the guys. And that's how, and then what also, I mean, this is where we had a problem with it. But as the story goes, first round of the playoffs would be best of 5. The winners would play a single elimination tournament to determine who would play in the best of 5 finals. And they already have this rented out for the summer league anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play in Vegas in early July, and obviously I think Vegas would do everything it can to accommodate the NBA. If it's going to be late July, if it's going to be August, whatever, you do what you can to fit the NBA playoffs here. If Adam Silver wants to bring 16 teams to Vegas for a made-for-TV event, that would be huge. Paul, it makes too much sense. And I'm not sure it makes sense anywhere else because when you look at Vegas and all the different venues, not only do you bring 16 teams here to play, they also have to have places to practice too, right?
Yes, yes.
So you've got MGM Grand Garden, you have the Mandalay Bay Event Center, Orleans Arena, not just, you know, T-Mobile, the South Point Event Center here. You have places the teams could practice aside from Thomas Mack Center and Cox Pavilion. So you got plenty of venues for the teams, and you have no travel. You can play every other day. You just have one TV network set up, all the teams in one place. You could probably stage the playoffs in 1 month. And, you know, it would be shorter series. I think you would probably have best of 5 series, maybe a best of 3, best of 5. I don't like the one-and-done idea, but I the NBA Finals, I believe, still should be best of 7. And that'd be very easy to do if you got the teams right here in Las Vegas.
One of the under this format, this would take less than a month.
Yeah, I think you could
best of five, single elimination, best of five. I mean, you knock that out in no time.
I'm not sure we're ever going to see single elimination. I think you would have more games. TV wants more games, right?
Yep.
So you'd have Cuban, at least best of three or best of five series.
Yep. Cuban repeatedly has said that when the NBA returns, it's going to likely be without fans.
Right.
And this is something in the story, which is also very important. They've already gone through this here in Las Vegas. They have the annual G League Winter Showcase in Vegas the last 2 years, holding games without fans at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Games were televised and only essential team personnel were at the event, along with select family, friends, and media, providing a sneak peek at what a possible tournament and NBA Finals games could entail, Gordon writes in the article. So that's also very important.
Paul, I feel like we talked about this on Follow the Money a week ago Monday with Aaron Renning before anyone else talked about this, right?
Great job by you guys. I know, great job. And it makes it that's what people keep saying, that it makes so much sense. And I'm with them. And you want to flash that again, guys? And we'll do this tomorrow. Jeff Sherman on the show from the Westgate. Look what he put up yesterday. He put up, if they cancel the regular season and go right into the playoffs, here's your matchups and here's your odds. How about that?
Yeah, Jeff's got a lot of time on his hands. I talked to him yesterday, Paul. He's quarantined at home with his wife and his baby, so he had time to make these NBA series prices. Now, Jeff doesn't really believe the NBA playoffs are going to happen in the format that we're accustomed to, right? Best of seven. He thinks it's going to be shorter series, but he thought he would go ahead and put up series prices so we could talk about it. And then, of course, you can adjust these prices if the playoff formats get changed. When I look at this, Paul, and we'll talk about these with Jeff Sherman again this week, but he's got the Lakers as 15,000 favorites. For those who don't know, you bet $15,000 to win $100. That's the Lakers against Memphis Grizzlies in the 1-8 matchup in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. The Clippers have a very competitive series, Paul. Clippers minus 800 against the Dallas Mavericks, who are plus 550.
Yep. I would take a look at OKC with the plus money, because Utah's had all kinds of problems, especially at home. Yeah. And their defense, last check, they were 11th in defensive efficiency. And it feels great to say that. And also Toronto, I would look at Brooklyn. And here's why. When are they playing these games? Is Kyrie back? I mean, that's the thing about Philly. Is Simmons playing? Is Kyrie back? I mean, you still think Brooklyn 5-1 could maybe shock the world there.
Yeah, that's not a bad bet. Anybody who says Kevin Durant might play is crazy. He's not going to play, but Kyrie might be back, and Brooklyn at plus 500 might be worth a shot there. I think the Houston-Denver series is really interesting. Denver minus 125.
Yes.
How about Philly-Boston? I still like Boston. I still give the Celtics the edge, Paul, because I like Brad Stevens. I think he got the coaching edge, and
I would take him, yes.
I just still feel like something's off with that Sixers team, man. Starting with Brett Brown and the fact that Ben Simmons can't hit a three and Joel Embiid can't stay on the floor. He can't stay healthy. If you said I had to bet one series right now, I would bet the Celtics minus 110 over the Sixers.
Yep. Horrible road record with Philly.
Right.
And that I'm with you on that one. And that is a coaching mismatch with Stevens over Brett Brown. Let me bring it up right now, how bad the road record is. They're 10-24 on the road, the Sixers. 10-24. That's incredible. Let's close with this.
Okay.
I watched the game yesterday. It was on NBA TV. What's your favorite Jordan moment or the most impressive game Jordan had? Yesterday they showed the 55-point game at Madison Square Garden, his fifth game coming back from retirement, and he had 55.
I think that was when he was wearing number 45.
That's right.
Yeah, wearing number 45 right after he faxed on back. You know, there's so many great Jordan memories, and I'm going to have to go with the flu game in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that one was impressive, yeah.
What, he had 38 points, and it looked like he was going to pass out? He had food poisoning?
Bad pizza. Was it bad pizza, I think? Think that was the story?
Yeah, that's the story. Who knows what's really true? Yeah.
Okay, right. So, but this, I think he had 35 at the half, and he had 25 in the first quarter, And Matt watching, he changed his game when he came back from retirement. It still wasn't attacking the basket relentlessly, going into dunks and his just jumpers and posting guys up and doing whatever he was. Just incredible to watch that he has 55 points in only his fifth game. And it was on a back-to-back, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they played in Atlanta the night before and he hit the game winner. And here they are in the Garden. They win the game against a good Knicks team. They were down 15 in that game too. But he goes for 55 and he only had, I think, 6 points in the fourth quarter. And then he has the game winning. They come over on the double team with the game tied with like 10 seconds left. 10, 9, 8, 7. And they fall for the pump fake and he finds Wennington wide open. He dunks it and he gives them the win. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Greatest player I ever covered. I was a Bulls beat writer for a couple of years, actually in 97 and 98. So it was at the flu game and when he scored 38. And then the next year, Paul, his last game with the Bulls. And his last game with the Bulls in 98 when he pushed off and hit the game winner in game six.
What was that like?
His stat line from the flu game, 38 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, and he blames it all on pizza, as Paul said.
Yeah.
Wow.
There were some stories going around. We're not sure if it's pizza, but.
Okay, fair enough. What was that like covering that team? I mean, they were the Beatles, those Jordan Bulls.
No, it's a great comparison. It was rock and roll. It was like covering a rock and roll band. I mean, you think about Dennis Rodman.
Sure.
You know, and Jordan and Pippen and Phil Jackson. And back when they were going for 70 wins. And that was, 98 was their sixth title. That documentary, Paul, is going to be on ESPN this summer. That's going to be really entertaining. I think it's like an 8-part documentary. Is that right? On the Jordan Bulls?
I think it's 10.
Is it?
I think it's, Matt, Kelly can look it up. I think it's 10, but right. Well, these stories we haven't heard, these are going to be stories we haven't heard before. This is before social media and the off the court stuff. And who knows, maybe they get, we knew this story, but maybe they get into Kerr getting punched by Jordan at practice. But everyone talks. Everyone, that's why the OJ thing was so good. Everyone talked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this will be great to see Rodman, Phil Jackson, Pippen, Jordan. I mean, how hard is it to pin down Jordan to get him to talk about the glory days?
It will be a 10-part series, guys.
10-part series. Go. Actually, now would be a good time for ESPN to run that.
Now.
Let's watch it now. We have nothing else to watch.
Right. When is that? Right. No, good point. When is that scheduled, Kelly? July? June?
I thought it was June or July.
Yeah, they should move that up.
Looking for a date here. I think end of June is what I heard, too.
They should move that thing up. That is going to be awesome.
Hey,
that
Paul?
Thing is going to deliver, yes.
Hey, one last thing. We got a tweet from a listener, and we were talking about this earlier, this from Live Free Golf. The golf match is a Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, where you had two players going head-to-head. How is that not perfect for what we need right now in the sports world? Tiger, Phil going head-to-head. The next week, it could be Rory and the DJ, somewhere.
Yep.
That should happen now, shouldn't it? I mean, that should be in the works.
Yep, totally agree. Good job, Matt. Great guest. Thanks to the crew. Brett McMurphy tomorrow. Jeff Sherman. We'll get some more draft props to go over. Be a fun show coming up tomorrow. And Mike Palm on Wednesday. Jeff also put up all the odds on NHL playoff matchups as well. Mike thinks there's one price that's too high. Have a good one. Back tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter, ftm@vsin.com, the email.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. and see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This Foreclosure Defense Group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.